He turned and walked at a slow pace about 30 yards ahead of them. The others had only Lucy's directions to guide them, for Aslan was not only invisible to them, but silent as well. His big cat-like paws made no noise on the grass. He led them to the right of the dancing trees. Whether they were still dancing, nobody knew, for Lucy had her eyes on the lion, and the rest had their eyes on Lucy and nearer the edge of the gorge. "Cobbles and kettle drums," thought Trumpkin. "I hope this madness isn't going to end in a moonlight climb and broken necks." For a long way, Aslan went along the top of the precipices. Then they came to a place where some little trees grew right on the edge. He turned and disappeared among them. Lucy held her breath, for it looked as if he had plunged over the cliff. But she was too busy keeping him in sight to stop and think about this. She quickened her pace and was soon among the trees herself. Looking down, she could see a steep and narrow path going slantwise down into the gorge between the rocks, and Aslan descending it. He turned and looked at her with his happy eyes. Lucy clapped her hands and began to scramble down after him. From behind her, she heard the voices of the others shouting, "Hi, Lucy! Look out, for goodness sake! You're right on the edge of the gorge! Come back!" And then a moment later, Edmund's voice saying, "No, she's right. There is a way down." Halfway down the path, Edmund caught up with her. "Look," he said in great excitement. "Look, what's that shadow crawling down in front of us?"
"It's his shadow," said Lucy.
"I do believe you're right, Lou," said Edmund. "I can't think how I didn't see it before.
But where is he?" "With his shadow, of course. Can't you see him?"
"Well, I almost thought I did, for a moment. It's such a rum light."
"Get on, King Edmund, get on,"
came Trumpkin's voice from behind and above, and then farther behind and still nearly at the top, Peter's voice saying, "Oh, buck up, Susan, give me your hand. Why, a baby could get down here, and do stop grousing." In a few minutes, they were at the bottom, and the roaring of water filled their ears. Treading delicately like a cat, Aslan stepped from stone to stone across the stream. In the middle, he stopped, bent down to drink, and as he raised his shaggy head dripping from the water, he turned to face them again. This time, Edmund saw him. "Oh, Aslan!" he cried, darting forward, but the lion whisked round and began padding up the slope on the far side of the rush. "Peter! Peter!" cried Edmund. "Did you see?"
"I saw something," said Peter, "but it's so tricky in this moonlight. On we go, though, and three cheers for Lucy. I don't feel half so tired now, either."
Aslan, without hesitation, led them to their left, farther up the gorge. The whole journey was odd and dreamlike. The roaring stream, the wet grey grass, the glimmering cliffs which they were approaching, and always the glorious, silently pacing beast ahead. Everyone except Susan and the dwarf could see him now. Presently they came to another steep path up the face of the farther precipices. These were far higher than the ones they had just descended, and the journey up them was a long and tedious zigzag. Fortunately the moon shone right above the gorge, so that neither side was in shadow. Lucy was nearly blown when the tail and hind legs of Aslan disappeared over the top, but with one last effort she scrambled after him and came out rather shaky-legged and breathless on the hill they had been trying to reach ever since they left Glasswater. The long, gentle slope, heather and grass and a few very big rocks that shone white in the moonlight, stretched up to where it vanished in a glimmer of trees about half a mile away. She knew it. It was the Hill of the Stone Table. With a jingling of mail, the others climbed up behind her. Aslan glided on before them, and they walked after him.
"Lucy,"
said Susan in a very small voice.
"Yes,"
said Lucy.
"I see him now. I'm sorry." "That's all right. But I've been far worse than you know. I really believed it was him, he, I mean, yesterday, when he warned us not to go down to the fir wood. And I really believed it was him tonight when you woke us up. I mean, deep down inside. or I could have if I'd let myself. But I just wanted to get out of the woods and, oh, I don't know. And whatever am I to say to him?
Perhaps you won't need to say much, suggested Lucy.